Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are recapping season 5, episode 21 of Pretty Little Liars called Bloody Ew.
I knew Caroline was going to be obsessed with this episode as soon as I saw a little clip of London, England. Big Ben.
Okay, can I just tell you, actually, this episode had my jaw completely off of its hinges.
Could you believe it?
No, I couldn't. I was watching episode.
It's like thing after thing, too. It's not just one thing.
Oh, I know it is. Because I almost texted you, but my fingers were moving too fast, typing down every single second I was watching. And I was like, I guess I'll talk to her tomorrow about all this. But like, I would have loved to give you my real-time reactions because let me tell you, we were a bit shocked over here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, watching this.
I know, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
I want to talk about two things before we get into the episode. The first is, guys, Caroline and I are lucky enough to have memberships now to Rosetta Stone.
Oh my God. Yes, we are.
And guys, I didn't realize.
Is it going to be your whole new personality now?
It might be.
Oh my God.
I'm learning Spanish. Oh, I'm already on day 4. I started yesterday.
Don't you already like know Spanish?
Yeah, but I was never very good at it.
Oh, you weren't?
And I'm
realizing
why.
Okay,
well,
maybe I'll brush up mine so then we can talk in Spanish around mom and dad.
Oh, perfect. We can do 4. I thought you were going to say for this, I was going to be like 4 episodes a week.
We'll just repeat it in Spanish. No. Just so we can have secret combos.
So sometimes the English speakers get the original jokes and sometimes the Spanish speakers get the original jokes. So every other week we'll do the
other one. I can't
wait
until we're fluent enough to be joking in another language.
Oh my God, never. But I realized what's very cool about Rosetta Stone, and when I was reading the ad, I was like, what does it even mean to think in Spanish when English is your first language?
Yeah.
Guys, Rosetta Stone, I guess they really are the best in the biz for a reason. Because
you're thinking in Spanish?
Well, not quite yet.
It's hilarious.
But when I'm doing the exercises, I realize how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's not like in Spanish class where you get the list of the vocabulary words with the Spanish next to the English.
Right, right.
They're only showing you pictures.
Ah.
And they're only speaking in Spanish.
Oh, so then it's like if you see a table, you're going to think La Mesa instead of saw the word. Ah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they do say the only way to become fluent is to be fully immersed. And so that was always like, because little known fact about me, I actually had a Spanish minor in college and I ended up having to drop it like 2 credits short because I had so many other credits to take. But I was in conversation Spanish class, which was like crazy. Like it was like a round table and you're all talking in Spanish the entire time, which like I know you do that in Spanish class, but this was like I was stressed out. I also broke my foot while I was in this class. So for half of that time, I was on pain meds. So, you know, I was really thinking in Spanish. But anyway, I really wanted to go study abroad so I could like be immersed in it, become fully fluent. But for theater, it really doesn't make sense to ever miss out on a semester of performing. So I never did, which is a major regret of mine. I feel like you have a similar situation. Like you just miss out on too many opportunities that like are why you're in school.
Exactly. And I was an RA. So like I was getting room and board for free. So like,
right.
I could have done a Maymaster, but then it was like, well, that's a month I could be home working.
Right.
So it didn't really make a whole ton of sense for me. But I'm sure in 10 years, or I was about to say in 10 years when I have a kid going to college.
Phoebe's actually going to have the most advanced child. She births an eight-year-old, okay, today. And in 10 years, that kid's going to freaking Harvard. Or even crazier, the kid's only 10. Okay, this has never been done before. The kid is 10 going to Harvard. Okay, can we study her brain? And it's like, well, you might want to study the mom's brain too. And I think you know why.
A nice little lesion here and there.
It's like to throw it in to remind you all what we're working with, okay?
Yes. Yes. You know, it was also honestly really insensitive. Whoever told me I was bad at telling stories.
Hello. Were you not listening? You obviously weren't listening then. Because she's got lesions. We don't know if it's running right over the storytelling part of her brain. Obviously, that part of my brain is completely unscathed, pristine, gorgeous. But Phoebe's, I mean, who knows?
Anyway, I'm looking forward to being fluent in Spanish.
I'm really looking forward to that for you too.
And I'm having fun doing it.
It's fun. I love Spanish. I actually, so when we
Don't get me wrong. I loved Spanish.
No, I just know, wasn't. I wasn't. Maestra, if you're listening, you can interpret that however you want.
I wasn't a great student. I was a fine student, but I didn't try very
general,
hard.
In general, or just like, in like foreign language?
I think all of it. I probably could have been a much better student than I was.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy because in my mind, mom and dad raised three academic weapons. Like in my mind, if we all grew up in the same house, there's no way we didn't all escape the same way.
It's just that I think that, I don't know, I just didn't really, I wasn't a studier. But I was naturally smart, everybody.
Well, so
I got by. Like, it, like, worked.
Well, that was my problem, Phoebe, is, you know, like, apparently when you teach yourself how to read at a really young age, they're like, she's got something special, let's put her in the gifted and talented place. And here's the problem with that, okay? And I maybe have talked about this before. People learn how to read then. So, hey, I might be the only one who knows how to spell polypropylene in the first grade, but by third grade, everyone else might be able to. Maybe not Phoebe, but by the fifth grade, maybe. Even by the seventh, okay? At some point in high school, they are learning how to spell polypropylene like I did in first grade. No, but my point is, like, I feel like mom and dad thought, okay, she's considered, like, super smart. They must extend to everything. And it was like, well, no, not geometry, not math.
I really struggled with math.
Not other things. Like, so it doesn't, just because I'm good at reading doesn't mean I'm going to be good at everything else. And then it was like, well, then everyone else, like, caught up. Like, everyone else got smart, too, because they went through elementary school. And then it was like, we can drop the signifier now, okay? Because there are people here that are far more gifted and talented.
I am.
Chloe Field, for example.
I am always going to wonder if I could have been good at math. I don't think I could have been, but I didn't work at it.
And you know what, Phoebe? I think that's all you need to know, because do you want to know something crazy? Amber majored in math. I know. Amber, Phoebe's jaw dropped. It's kind of what mine does every time I remember it, too.
Anyway, guys. Oh, wait. The other thing I wanted to talk about is that tonight in approximately 5 hours, I'm going to be dancing my night away at the Sweat Tour.
I'm happy for you, but I'm sad for me.
About it on Tuesday. I'm so fucking excited. And guys, I'm going to get my shirt. I'm going to show you it.
Hurry.
I think I'm going to crop it.
Oh,
I haven't decided. Not like, okay, don't act crazy. Don't alert TMZ. I just am going to crop it slightly because I think it's going to be a little big.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it's
guys,
probably going to be a lot big.
I do struggle with, by the way, there's a line in this episode that I'm like, okay, me and Caroline. And you'll
in
know
what?
Which one when we get there in this episode. About being waifs of women.
Yeah.
Do you know what line I'm talking about?
I believe it is later on with Aria and Smart Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But okay, I do struggle with the sweat aesthetic. I love it for everybody else that can do it, but I unfortunately am not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am struggling with the fit for tonight. So I have to figure out how to make this shirt look good because I had the idea for my friends, because I'm going with one of my friends, shout out Julia. And
she is so Julia. She's so Julia.
So Jules is wearing a shirt that says, I'm so Julia.
Of course.
I'm wearing this shirt that says,
Love it.
And our other friend GC is wearing a shirt that says,
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Nice, Fee.
And it looks pretty good.
Very creative. Yeah, no, it does look good. It looks great. Nice work, Fee. Phoebe is overjoyed with herself. I wish you could all see her proud face, but I'm sure she'll post pics, right?
We'll see how
you
they
will
look.
Be taking some. You will be taking some. That's non-negotiable. It's part of your new going out
them.
Routine, bitch.
I'll be taking them.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'll be sending them to you.
Well, you better keep taking them until you have some that you will. Okay. Failure's not an option. Ever heard of it? Ever heard of the Marine Corps? Okay. Great. Are you on recap? Did you already do it?
No. But I did write it last week, which was such
Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors. The rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors, which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Last week?
When I watched last week's episode, I was like, I'll just do the recap for next week.
But what if you don't? Did you watch the recap for this week?
Yeah. Like I went into the next episode and watched the recap.
I thought you meant you just did it based on what we had just talked about. I'm like, well, how do you know something crazy isn't going to come up, V?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Not an amateur.
So true.
This is the recap. So Hannah was going to do that pageant and she completely botched the dance audition. And so now maybe Emily's going to do it and she's going to win the prize money for Hannah. So we think. Spencer, we get a flashback to Spencer emailing Melissa about Ren's contact at Oxford. We remember that Andrew was tutoring Aria so that SCAD will not rescind her acceptance. Emily met Eric, who, yep, that's Talia's husband. And then they like kind of break up, but kind of get back together. It's kind of confusing. Especially this episode doesn't really clear anything up, if I'm being honest. Hannah saw Allie in jail a while ago and said, don't count on me, and said a bunch of other mean things to her. And then A sent them a picture of their blood and said, thanks for my get in jail free card or whatever the hell. Anyway, Cyrus, oh my goodness. Yes, we go to a diner when they're trying to figure out like where this blood is from or whatever is happening. This is around when they get the picture. And so we see Cyrus and we find out that Cyrus is involved again. We don't really know how yet. And like he isn't A, but he's communicating with A the same way Mike is. It's kind of a lot. He wants to work out a trade at first. And then Andrew like chases him with a baseball bat. OK, we find out that Cyrus did get Allie outside of Rosewood on the day of Mona's murder. So we can have like an alibi for her. We know where she was. The girls know where she was. And Mike is the one who tells them all of this. Mona told Mike that she thought that A was going to help her, quote unquote, help her stage her own murder, and that Mona was going to be able to meet A and like stay alive through all of this and come back the hero after she defeats A. But we believe that A double crossed Mona and actually killed her and didn't just fake her death. The girls are thinking about, this is crazy, the girls are thinking about saying something to the police that would get their childhood best friend out of prison for a murder that they now know she literally did not commit. They're thinking about it. They're considering maybe telling the truth.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, guys. And so stay tuned. At the end of the episode, we are going to talk about our first fan theory from our collaboration with the Instagram account at Liars Until Death. So if you're not following them, it's going to be every Tuesday. They'll put on their story a place for you all to submit your fan theories, and then we choose. So this week's fan theory that we're going to dive into at the end is, what if Allison De Laurentiis, jailbird Allison De Laurentiis, and potentially deceased Mona Vanderwall are actually working together to bring down the liar? So you'll hear exactly what we think about that at the end. But for now, we get into the episode, and well, thank God, the girls are at the police station in a holding room. I don't know what the fuck Aria is wearing, but they've come here with like tail between their legs vibes, because they decided they are going to tell the truth, because ultimately, as Phoebe mentioned, it is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. But Aria isn't so sure that she wants to do this.
Aria's driving me absolutely up the wall this episode. I mean, suddenly she's a conscience. When it comes to her, it's no problem. When it comes to her, she's always had a conscience, or her family, or what's best for them. I just can't. Girls decide, or they're here to see Allie, and they're like, okay, well, we don't know if she's a good person, but what we do know is she's on trial for murder, for a murder she didn't commit. And they're pretty sure that Mona, what, like killed herself, gone wrong, or that A just intercepted.
The girls think that A, we don't know, but we think that A killed Allie, or killed Mona.
Okay.
Instead of just going along with the plan.
But as you mentioned, we did have that little clip of Allie thrashing Mona's ass around. And so I am going to bring that up later when we talk about that theory, because if they just never come back to that, like what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like a major, that would be crazy. No, that would be absolutely. But, okay. So Allie shows up.
Not far off from how things typically go in this show.
Amen, sister. Amen, my literal sister. We are actually sisters. I love when people say that. And they're like, these two are actually sisters. And it's like, yeah, I love
the idea that like we would be faking it. There are other famous sisters in media who aren't actually sisters.
You know, I've always said that about Mary-Kate and Ashley, that I think they're faking it. This whole twin thing. Yeah, right.
I kind of think it's crazy when people can't tell us apart. I mean, she thinks the opposite of fire is water, and I think the opposite of fire is air.
Is that what they said once?
That's a direct quote. That's a direct quote.
From the fake siblings, the fake twin sisters, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. You heard it here first.
But I heard the perfect way to remember it, and I still can't really remember it because I get their names mixed up, and I know you probably can tell them apart. But
obviously,
one of them looks like California, and one of them looks like New York.
Yes. One of them looks like a little bit dirty, and one of them, but like in a surfer way, and one of them looks like she is like hardened, and but she's got her
even
shit
when
together.
They're younger. Yeah, when they're young, when they were like teenagers, one of them had like a rounder, more like beachy face. Yes. And the other one had like really chiseled, harsh features.
Yes. Ashley,
that was giving like New York City.
Yes. Well, and of course, Timis, New York Minute.
I got something I'd like you to see. New York City. I'm gonna see Ryan soon. Oh. Aww. My gosh, I can't wait.
And you're gonna see me.
Yes,
I can't wait. And the dogs.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
They are going to lose it. I can't wait till you see the haircut I gave Drama.
You gave it to him.
Well, he got a little bit of sap because the boys have like a clubhouse in the back of the yard right now. And like they keep going in there and it has a little bit of sap. And so he got this sap piece of his hair. So I just cut it out, and now he has like a dent in his fucking head.
And did you see pictures of, did you show Drama pictures of the haircut that you famously gave Snoop as... reassurance. No. You said, don't worry.
Yeah, I didn't want him to be scared because actually, Phoebe, you're going to think this is insane. I've shown that picture to a few people who thought it wasn't good. Who thought the haircut we gave Snoop was not it. Which is crazy.
I'm joking.
Phoebe, I know. I'm also joking. Oh, oh my God. See, this is why I need you here. Can you lock in? I know you're like doing other stuff, but my humor is getting lost in the fray. And we can't have that.
So, where do we leave off there?
The girls are filling Allie in, and Allie's pretty annoyed from the get-go. And the
I want to say what Aria said here.
Okay.
Because Spencer and Emily are like feeling guilty for the fact that they're, again, Allie's in prison for something that she did not do. And Aria is like, as Emily says, she's in here because of us. And Aria says, she's in here because of karma.
Yeah. And then we hear, and then come Emily's, on as a boyfriend. Come on as a...
And then Emily's like, look, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And Aria says, yeah, well, she's runner-up.
Aria's in a bad fucking mood. And she's also wearing an outfit that looks like it's in the Tortured Poets Department, like backup dancer repertoire.
Yes.
But they're explaining all this to Allie, and they start explaining Mona's death, and Aria, ever the empath, goes, yeah, and Mona's not coming back. Doesn't say like, unfortunately, you know, Mona passed, but no, Mona's not coming back.
Okay. And, Allie asks where Hannah is, and the girls are like weird about it. And so is Allie.
The girls actually, I'm not going to let us, because you know what? I'm going to give credit where it's due. And Spencer has Hannah's back here. The girls don't know what to say. Spencer says she had to spend the day with her mom. She leaps in. She makes an excuse for Hannah. And I appreciated that because later on we learn Hannah just couldn't bring herself to go. So, you know, both Emily, excuse me. I know you're like the soft-spoken one, but you're supposed to be the loyal one. Where was exactly. you? Where were you having Hannah's back there? You know she would have had yours. Aria, I expected this from you. But I was pleasantly surprised by Spencer's quickness to like have Hannah's back. And I honestly feel like it's like common enemy vibes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Emily's whipped again.
She's whipped again. I'm so glad. You also know I literally was like, Emily literally in her eyes, she's like, let's kiss. Like, it's all over her face. She's completely sad. She's like, thank God we're back in. Okay, I've been waiting for the girls, like, get on board.
She's like, I had to pretend like I believed you were a murderer.
She's like, I had to set this up with Mona that she was gonna, I set this whole thing up. Anyway, that would make no sense. I know that.
And before they leave, Emily or Allie's like, Aria. And Aria comes in. And Aria's like, what? And Allie's like, you know, I have to tell my lawyers about your brother because in case you forgot, Mike is the reason she's in jail.
Yes.
The piece of information that he's been concealing is keeping her in prison
for
a murder. And also, I'm like, Mike, at this point, you're thinking that Mona was killed.
Don't you want to find out who fucking did it?
Don't you
want to
find the person who actually did it?
Because we know it wasn't Allison. Yeah. Like,
and Aria convinced... This is crazy that Aria is able... Allie's so weakened by prison, and we learn that later, that Aria is able to convince her that she can wait like a little bit because Aria's like...
I couldn't believe Aria goes, can you please hold off? I'm like, hold off on being in fucking prison, Aria?
That's right. Exactly.
Imagine if you were the one behind bars. Crazy.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I can't just hold off. Like, oh, my God. And she's like, RA is like, Mike is an A. They need to figure out who Mike is working for. And if he's behind bars, we're not going to be able to do that. And Allie does leave Aria with this fierce line. She goes, Aria, I'm not trying to hurt Mike. I just might not have another choice. And I said, stealing that next time I need it.
So you go to the high school and we find out that Hannah couldn't go. She didn't want to go because
she couldn't be fake as Allie. Fuck. That's why.
She didn't look at Allie after calling her a liar and a murderer.
Hannah's a real ass bitch.
I want to say something about the word murderer. We couldn't think of a better way to say that.
Why?
That is such a terribly set up word. The E-R-E-R is bad.
I have really no trouble saying it. I think it's not
about having trouble saying it. It's just that I think that like there could have been a better way to say it.
Yeah, it's a little redundant. I just said sounding. I have no problem saying it, and then you just said it's not about saying it. I just wish there was a better way to say it.
I thought you meant like having trouble physically saying it. It's okay, not hard to
go
say.
Go fuck yourself. Oh, I thought you meant like you thought for a second that I was like, well, I have no problem with murder. I have no problem saying it. Doesn't bother me at all.
Which is no. I just feel like the ER. We could have done some better work there.
Murderer. I guess. I don't know.
It feels lazy.
It
feels lazy.
It feels like it's actually more work. It feels like lazy people might dislike it even.
No. It was lazy. The person who invented the word, that was lazy. Saying it takes more work.
Well, you could also just say killer.
Okay, yeah. There are synonyms for a lot of words.
Absolutely stumped, Phoebe.
No, that didn't stump me. I immediately was like, okay, there's synonyms for a lot of words. That doesn't make murderer a better word.
Anyway.
Spencer says, well, she is a liar. And Emily says, yeah, and up until like 2 days ago, we also thought she was a murderer.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Now we go to the Hastings Castle. And Vivi is on the phone with Peter. And they're talking. Okay, go on.
We missed some stuff. We go into the courtyard and Hannah says something that I thought you were going to write down word for word. And I guess you didn't. And that's okay. For some reason, it made me think of a line that you would want to read. I don't remember. I didn't write it down because I thought I was so certain you were going to. Mm. But Spencer says, your absence took second position to Mona. Allie was like really, really shocked.
Oh.
And then she looks at Aria and she goes, which I guess is contagious. What's up with you?
I also want to say Allie was not in a state of shock. Allie didn't give a fuck about Mona. Let's just all be clear.
Here's the thing. It's not even that. Allie wasn't in a state of shock because, number one, she knew that Mona was dead. She already knew that Mona was murdered. Everybody's known that.
Yeah, I guess.
And she also knew in her heart of hearts that she didn't kill her.
Yeah.
So she's probably been in prison thinking of every single way that this could have happened. And she's probably already thought of the exact way that it did happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked that she wasn't shocked.
Mm. Well... yeah, they ask Aria what's wrong, and Aria explains that Allie's going to feed Mike to the defense team if we don't figure out who A is, because Mike is going to become Allie's get-out-of-jail-free card and A's number one target, and that can't happen. And it's like, but who are you really scared of getting hurt here, Aria? You or Mike? Like, if the attention's on the Montgomery family, does it scare you for you or for Mike? Although later on, I will say, and we have been getting some sweet sibling moments from Aria, and like, of course, my gut wants me to be like, she's just completely selfish, but... yeah, that ending moment where she's crying, looking at the weights, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. That one hurts a little bit.
That was tough. We go to the Hastings Castle, and Vivi's on the phone with Peter, and they're, like, fighting. And then Spencer comes in, and she goes, I thought you and Dad weren't talking. And Vivi says, well, when I find out that my daughter and her friends are taking field trips to the prison, I kind of feel like I owe him a jingle.
And then she goes... this family has bent over backwards to keep you out of that place, and then you show up voluntarily. Like, she's just absolutely so annoyed. Vivi's kind of eating until I realize that we need to call Child Protective Services on the Hastings Castle, because Vivi called Wren, the predator Wren, for some help, and he was able to get Spencer an interview with the guy at Oxford. So Spencer is, get this, leaving tonight and staying with Wren, who's...
and Melissa.
Currently
Wren
with
and Melissa,
Melissa
are
right?
Dating.
So why did you call Melissa then, Vivi? Why did you call Wren, the guy that like made moves on your underage
and
daughter?
And also we find out later that there's another grown man living in the house.
I have a lot of questions for creepy Colin.
He sucks. We go to...
am I going to have to see him again?
I don't feel like it.
Are you serious? He's a one-app wonder? Oh my God.
I think so. We go outside the brew, and this contestant coordinator for the beauty pageant approaches Emily and is like, you forgot a parent signature. And Emily says, I must have missed it. What?
How do you miss that?
The parent signature page is always like a pretty big deal.
It's like the main thing.
Packets.
It's like the main thing. This whole exchange throughout the whole episode is crazy.
Can you believe the way that they set that
up? No, I could not. But so this girl, her name's Claire, she gives Emily the events calendar, and it's like this super busy schedule, obviously. And Emily is a little bit like stunned by it, but says she's going to talk to her boss and like it won't be a problem, whatever. And Claire says, you're a very promising contestant. I only wish you started sooner. You could have collected a few glass slippers by now. So Emily's really doing this thing. And I wonder actually how Hannah feels about it.
I know. I would feel awkward.
Okay. But like, can you not? Like, I would just prefer we just like pretend this never happened, kind of. I mean, I know Emily's exactly. like enjoying it, but like, I don't know.
I would feel a little weird. Mm-hmm. We go back to the Hastings Castle and Arya and Hannah are there to visit Spencer. And Vivi goes,
it needs to be a quick one.
Make it quick. Make it quick, girls.
Make it quick.
And
not the way you just fixed your hair. As Phoebe's been make it a quick one. Phoebe has like a middle part ponytail, I guess. But like the very front
what
piece.
What do you mean you guess?
Well, like I have a middle part ponytail. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's what we're calling yours, but that's fine. But I just don't want anyone to get the wrong idea that like we have the same hairstyle going on. Cause I would say
you didn't have to say anything about your hairstyle.
Well, just so you guys know, my hair looks great. Just kidding. I'm getting it cut tomorrow though, so we didn't want to wash it. But Phoebe just pulled like 3 strands of hair that were a little bit cattywampus and pulled them over and like flipped them over in the most goofy ass way while she said that. As if I just like wasn't gonna notice and comment on it, which is literally never happened.
Never gonna happen. And Arya goes to walk up the stairs after Hannah, and she may as well like stomp her feet, stop dead in her tracks. And we get this clip of just her face, and she's like,
"I know, too many of those."
You can see her thinking, and she turns around and she goes, "Ah, Mrs. Hastings." Law advice for a dollar?
Can I ask you a legal question? And Vivi, like, looking for her only way out, she's like, well, of course, but just so you know, like, I'll tell everybody. She's like, we don't have attorney-client privilege and we're not going to. You can't afford me.
My favorite thing that Arya says is that Vivi's like, what's up? And Arya goes, I don't really know where to start. It's kind of personal.
It's like, okay, you called me, bitch.
You started this conversation.
Yeah. You just gave me a dollar, not vice versa. What? Yeah. So she says, for the next hour, will you be my lawyer? It's like, girl, if you think it's only going to take an hour, you're out of your gourd. Emily walks into the kitchen at the brew and confronts Talia, who has obviously been crying. How do I know? She's got red all over her eyes. I hate when they do this. It's like, just be a good actor and I'll know. And then I'll know that you're sad, that you're bummed. But Arya
quit.
Emily.
And the world went, yes.
But it was kind of funny the way it happened because Emily just like fed the fuck up, especially now that she's like, okay, Allie and I are meant to be again. Like, I'm kind of done with this whole thing. Because she's like, hey, Talia, I need Amanda to cover my shifts. Thanks. And Talia's like, not possible. And Emily goes, really? This is how it's going to be? She just is like, I don't have time for this bullshit. Really, this is how it's going to be. And Talia's like, I quit. And that's when she says that. But you could have just started with that, Talia.
I agree. We go back to the Hastings Castle and Arya is explaining, or they're all talking about how Mike was withholding. Oh, wait. Sorry. I jumped ahead.
No, that's right.
Vivi and Arya are still talking. Oh. And she's explaining to Vivi how Mike, she's not saying Mike, but she's like, this friend withheld evidence.
Arya, how stupid can you fucking be?
Could have put someone else in jail. And Vivi's like, yeah, he could face charges.
She's like, yeah, your brother Mike, he's going down.
Arya can't believe it. And she goes, like, how serious of charges? And Vivi's like, well, it depends on how serious no. the crime
not
was.
Not Arya going, okay, what if he killed someone?
What if this mistake kind of resulted in death of someone?
A murder? An cold blood murder?
And Vivi like, goes, yeah, I'd say it's serious.
Yeah, it's jail time. Arya's like, holy shit, that never dawned on me. Wait a minute. I killed someone and now we're back on that whole thing. So while we're in Spencer's room, Hannah, fucking hilarious, she goes, okay, we still don't know who's trying to turn us into a chain gang. And Spencer goes, well, what do you want me to do? And Hannah goes, miss the flight. Because Spencer's about to beat Fee. And they're like, no, 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 girly. You kind of keep us on the straight and narrow. What are you doing leaving right now?
Emily says, what do we have to lose with just telling the truth? And Arya goes,
oh, yeah. What do we have to lose? How about what does Arya have to lose? Okay.
it's never about Arya. It's never about Arya. So someone has to make it about me.
Hey, guys, I have to do it. For freaking once, can we just focus on we for a sec? Yes, a Diet Coke spit take. There is nothing better. It's the best feeling when it comes out of your nose. Freaking live for it.
Yeah, okay, that was so Lisa Barlow.
Also hilarious that Spencer hasn't even told Toby. I mean, I know she just found out seconds ago, but like the girls are already here. She hasn't told Toby because he only listens if it's on the police scanner. And Emily's like, okay, call the police.
The only way to get Toby's attention is over the police scanner, which is so funny.
Conveniently, the only way to get our mother's attention as well. She used to fucking love that thing. I wonder if she still does. Well, now that she's not looking for the initials of our friends, maybe it's not as exciting for her.
Exactly. It's probably not as fun. It's not as fun.
Yeah.
She's not, I mean, she's like Andrew. She loves a puzzle. And it's no longer a puzzle. It's just entertainment.
Yes.
So we go to the prison and oh my gosh, Freudian slip. Aria, oh. Aria's about to end up in jail.
Oh.
Allie is watching the laundry go round and round and round. And she decides to start doodling in the dust on the table. And I'm like, this is the laundry room. And you guys could use your dirty little jumpsuits to dust this off. You're folding on that table. What
I'm also
the
like
fuck?
Surely it's someone's job, like one of the inmates. Like I'm sure one of them is like assigned, because I feel like she's assigned to laundry duty, so it's probably actually Allie's job to like maintain the cleanliness of the laundry room.
Yes.
So hey, and Allie, I've got notes.
She's writing something in the dust. We don't see what it is quite yet. And then she gets called to go talk to someone that's visiting. And then we pan to what she wrote. And I just want to say, Allie, I believe you. I believe you had nothing to do with the murder. But if I'm in jail for a murder I didn't commit, you wouldn't catch me writing the name of the victim that I allegedly killed in the dust on the laundry room folding table.
And leaving it. And leaving the room, going who knows where. Going who knows where and for how long.
For how long?
I think I'm not even thinking the name of the person that people think I killed. Just in case. Like, this is so insane of Allie to do, but it does make me wonder, obsessed much? Why are you writing Mona's name? I can't just stop thinking about her, girly.
Leads into our
theory we'll be discussing. Like, but who the fuck else is in the jail? It's getting a little far fetched. And in my mind, I'm like, surely they're gonna wrap all these things up. But like, I don't actually know that. You know?
No, you don't.
How can I be sure?
And you might never know that. Guess who's visiting Allie?
Fucking Vivi Hastings. Holy freaking moly. And she says, I want to know why my daughter and her friends are visiting you all of a sudden, because she won't tell me. Your own brother refuses to come here. Why would these girls?
And Allie says, because
hey, Vivi, why would these girls do literally anything they do, though? Just so we're clear.
Good question. Vivi, or Allie tells Vivi that the girls visited her because they know that she's telling the truth. And she starts talking about how she wants to take the stand, which is like rule number one when you're on trial for murder, don't do.
It's also like narcissism 101.
Any person who's ever committed a murder has wanted to take the stand.
Yeah, they've been like, no, just once they hear me talk, everything will change. Like, that's 100%.
And guys, that's exactly what Allie says. She goes, I want to tell the truth for once. And Vivi's like, okay. And she's like, my lawyers won't let me. And Vivi says,
thank God.
Yeah, and that's a good move on their part.
Vivi goes, okay, hey, Allie, I'm going to look you in my eyes. You told so many lies. She's literally like, you told like a zillion lies. Yeah, so it doesn't really fucking matter what you say now. You should have thought about, oh, one day I'm going to want to take the stand when you started telling all those freaking lies for no reason.
You should have Exactly. And Allie says, look, I want to tell my story because for once it's the truth.
Okay.
And Vivi says, then you'll need a good coach. And this is giving a movie where
it's giving Friday Night Lights.
It's a high school movie where this like girl who graduated from high school goes off and like does have a really incredible like dance career, but then like breaks her foot. So she comes back to her small town, and then she's like at a bar, and she's like grumbling. She's so annoyed with just the world.
They're like, Don't go talk to that old woman over there. She's really mean. She's the meanest dance coach in the world. She's been in retirement for years.
And then all these people are like, man, we really need a dance coach. And so they get her to come to one rehearsal, and she walks in, she takes one look, she sees flexed feet and bad arms. And before she leaves, she looks at the student coach, and she says, if you guys are going to make it to nationals, you're going to need a good coach. She goes to leave. The student coach goes,
Allison De Laurentiis.
Well, what about you? Do you want to be our coach? And that's what Allie says to Vivi. And I think I just painted a pretty good picture.
I think you did too. That is exactly what happens. I was thinking like a similar thing. I referenced the Friday Night Lights thing because it's like same thing like a football. You know, we've got like a promising young hothead who could be a great quarterback. He's like, I don't know. You're going to need to shape up. You're going to need a great coach if you're going to do that. Walks away. It's a classic move. It's a classic move.
We go to the mausoleum.
Smart Andrew's here. And Arya completely freaking forgot about a tutoring session. And she says she needs to flake and actually not only flake, but hold off indefinitely. I realize I'm way too smart for this. I shouldn't be tutoring you.
She's like, we can clear all these from my books, but if you need tutoring sessions, we can keep them.
But my rate, I do charge though. I know you were doing it for free, but my rate's kind of high. So we can, yeah.
And he's like, okay, we can stop the study sessions, but do you think you have time to squeeze in a movie? And I'm like, Andrew, just stop.
Oh my, I'm like, Andrew, what is your obsession with taken women? He actually loves a taken bitch.
Here's the thing though. Arya's not taken. Arya and Ezra are broken up right now, but Arya does what is such a, it's a great move by a woman, is that she might not be with the person that she was dating the last you heard, but she can say, you know, I'm still kind of seeing Ezra.
Use the word seeing, like, and that just, that's a
she
cure-all.
Hasn't spoken to Ezra in like a month. She didn't even know he was going to Harrisburg. Remember
literally,
that?
Literally. Well, and you know what? You know who else is not convinced? Me, Phoebe, and Smart Andrew. We're all like, yeah, okay, we'll go as friends. We'll go as study buddies. And then Andrew, who maybe has a death wish, says, yeah, the movie's about a shadowy stalker who sends messages and knows everyone's secrets. Hey,
crazy,
Arya.
Crazy, right?
Arya, I would stay out of that one. Just saying. Andrew so wants to be part of the clique way too bad. And it's like, your ambition might be your folly, babe.
For sure. Caroline, where do we go next?
We go to London, England. And Spencer, okay, right away, I'm like, okay, thank you for situating me perfectly in the context I need to be situated in for the rest of this. Because Spencer knocks on the door and goes, oh, sorry, wrong apartment. And he goes, flat. Apartments, flats. And he starts like, and it's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
He's so annoying.
If I then found out I had to stay in the same apartment as this man, I'd be like, and I'll get a hotel on the black card. Because mm-hmm. obviously she has one. This is bonkers. You wouldn't be staying there. And I want to say, this is number two reason why Vivi's like, I know she eats this episode, but she's also on my shit list. Because number one, you put your daughter in harm's way by sending her to like be with Ren in the first place. I understand Melissa's there. That doesn't fucking matter. Number two, no one told Spencer. Spencer has been stalked by a crazy person. She's on trial for murder. She's had all kinds of crazy shit going on in her life. And nobody told her there's going to be a complete stranger waiting for you at the flat. Nobody told her you're going to meet someone you've never seen before. And don't be alarmed. Yeah. Don't be scared. Don't be frightened. He's safe. You can trust him. And then when she gets there, she doesn't call Ren or Melissa to find out more about this guy.
It's
that
crazy.
Is so unlike her.
It's crazy. And he's like, so you have your heart set on Oxford, which college? And Spencer, at first we're like, oh my God, Spencer's going to botch this interview. Spencer doesn't know a thing about Oxford.
It turns out she's just being so fucking rude. She just has zero interest in talking to this guy.
She's looking at her phone and she's like, oh, well, okay, can you just fucking fix my phone?
She's like, I can't text my friends. And like throws her phone. She's like, fix it. And then we'll talk about college. Jesus.
And he says, well, I guess I can just bugger off.
He says, yeah, you pick up a course catalog, biatch, while I work on this. Like, you're not going to go into Oxford and embarrass yourself in the whole Hastings name.
We go back to the prison and Allie goes back into the laundry room and someone else wrote under Mona's name, told everything.
Underlined.
Mona told everything.
So is that the idea that, like, Mona told Mike everything?
Who did write this?
Yeah, no, who wrote this? Was it Mona? Is Mona also in this jail somewhere crawling through the walls? Is she pulling a Caleb and hiding out in the walls of the jail? I don't know.
No. We go outside the brew and Emily sees Talia. I guess she lives in Rosewood Times Square. And she's like, has a fully packed car. This was crazy.
Talia, Emily, you are begging for attention. I feel like Talia went and parked in front of the brew and waited until she saw Emily pulling up and then was like, oh, I'm just here to get my last check. Oh, that old thing. It's like, that's not even her car. She rented a car just to pack it with a bunch of bullshit so that Emily would be like, you want to stay with me?
Which is exactly what happened.
And so
Emily
predatory
says, well,
also.
You need a place to stay. And then Talia is like, your mom wouldn't mind. And Emily says, she's out. And Talia is like,
who's a guest?
Okay.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I feel so uncomfy with, I'm done with the Talia storyline. Absolutely. I'm done with it. Especially when, I know Talia was like sticking it to the man later, or so she thought, but it's like you
are 30.
Are low key also like not in a position to do, like to be doing this, like for Emily. This is not appropriate at all. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was so bizarre. But she, yeah. Did you explain she had a talk with her husband and they're
divorcing? She and Eric are split up. Who cares? Who cares? We go like, to the man there.
But it's just also, I'm sorry, like, Emily, you shouldn't be messed up in this. I hate this for her so much because she's like, well, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And it's like, you don't even need, you shouldn't have to be concerning yourself with somebody's dissolving marriage, like, and her not having a place to live. These are adult issues, by the way, brought on by somebody's choices. Like, she made the choice to lie to everybody instead of being upfront like she told you she was being. Like, maybe if she had gone that route, this wouldn't be the situation. I don't know. But it's really like... And now it's like, I'm sorry, you don't, I'm really excited for you, Talia, to explore your sexual like identity and like what you want there, but you can't do it with a minor. Sorry. Like, sorry.
No.
We're going to be a little bit like, we like love isn't love if they're under 18. Sorry. That's how I feel about
we
that.
We go to the Marin Manor and Hannah walks in and Ashley's like, ugh. Do you know how to get these read receipts turned on? And Hannah's like, well, you have to do this, this, this. And Ashley didn't do it, whatever.
These two are a hoot.
And then we find out that she's waiting to hear back from some job applications. And she leaves. Then Aria comes in. And Hannah's like, I was looking for you at school. And Aria loves when finally she has like a reason the world can be falling, her world can be falling apart. And it's everybody's problem. She goes, my brother's on borrowed time. I can't be sitting in Spanish conjugating verbs.
Phoebe, I can't be on Rosetta Stone conjugating verbs, okay? Aria followed the Hank Mahoney lead. And Hannah says, Aria, you shouldn't have done that, which Aria doesn't want to hear. And I love how since Spencer's gone, Aria's like, you don't have a fucking choice, Hannah. What else do you do? Like, yeah, you have to do all this with me. So we find out Cyrus is being treated at Taft Memorial Hospital. And Aria already figured out visiting hours are tomorrow. So she and Hannah are going to go. And they want to get, like, he's already been, you know, he's already admit that he was paid to set Allie up. So he could have some insight into who paid him, who contacted him. And Aria's like, and we're willing to pay him for this info. And he's like, okay, well, I am not. Emily's already popping and locking my way to college. And Aria's like, okay, well, I'll figure something out, but you have to come with me. And like, she goes, he's kind of a scary guy. It's like, yeah, that's why she shouldn't have to, you shouldn't be going.
Exactly. We go to Oxford and Spencer arrives at the interview. And the guy's like, why? Everybody in England is like obsessed with why Americans want to leave America.
And
like,
Spencer has the perfect answer.
Business. He's like, so why do you want to leave the colonies? Which, by the way, I was talking to Jules and GC last night when we were making the shirts. And I was like, are we all going to be singing in a British
Phoebe,
accent?
You are the only person I've ever heard of who is so fucking concerned about singing in a British accent when everyone else isn't. You're so mortified by the idea that you might be doing a dialect and they might not. And it's like, hey, let your freak flag fly. I think Charlie would be like, hey, do you? I think that's what Charlie would say. But also, it's kind of hard to sing without it.
Exactly. It would sound weird if we were all like, people say we're like, they say we've got the same hair.
It would sound weird if you all did that.
If we all didn't do that.
Oh, yeah,
we were all like,
I agree.
People say we're alike.
They say we've got the same hair.
Suddenly, it sounds like when you sing it like that, it sounds like the Ballad of Sarah Barry.
I don't know it.
Oh, my gosh. Not me knowing any musical theater song that Caroline doesn't
know.
What
show is it from?
35 Millimeter, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't really know that show at all, actually.
I only know that song from it only because what's her name? Menendez sings it. The girl who sings Pretty Funny sings it.
Ava Mendez, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's Lindsay.
Lindsay! Oh, yeah, it's Lindsay Mendez because she played my track in Godspell in the revival. And so I would listen to her version of Bless the Lord all the time when I was in it. So yes. It's Lindsay. Anyway.
But you sounded like you were, that was, that sounded like Sarah Barry. And you honestly would really like that song. It's about an evil prom queen.
Oh, it sounds great. I'll listen. Okay, sold. But Spencer has the perfect answer. She goes, why stay in America? And it's like, yeah. And it's like, okay. But she quotes like Fulbright about studying abroad and she wants to go to the oldest university in the English-speaking world. It's so Blair Waldorf. It's like these two would fucking hate each other. Thank God Spencer is going abroad.
Another episode of Gossip Girl that just like stabs me in the heart is the Brown Party or the Yale Party, whatever it is. When like Serena again is like.
And then Blair just botches it. Like that's a problem is like Blair has so many like moments that are so hard. It's so hard to forgive her for. But she also like gets pushed to these places and it's just like. The context is important of Blair, of who she is. Oh, I just love her so much. I'm excited because I've been listening to a lot of Gilmore to Say, of course, friends of the pod, Gilmore to Say. And I love the way that they talk about Gilmore Girls. They don't do like a recap podcast for those of you who haven't listened. They do have a rewatch podcast on their Patreon, but they like talk about topics and like they just had their fall episode where they're like, okay, you know, here are the way to have a Gilmore Girls fall road trip or things like that. Or they talk about all these intricacies of different characters and stuff. I love it. And I'm like, God, I just want to know a show inside out like that because I don't know Pretty Little Liars inside out like that, but I do know Gossip Girl like that. And so I'm really excited to like it because you've also seen it. So it's not like it's going to be, we're going to have to be like super spoiler free, which is just going to be nice.
So we get to the hospital. And Hannah and Aria are saying that they're Cyrus's cousins or Hank's cousins because he's in the hospital as Hank Mahoney because he was a regular at the diner. That's how Aria found him.
Mm.
And we find out that Hank Mahoney is a mechanic and that's how he got put in the hospital.
Yes.
So this nurse is like,
this nurse this said, I will be making a meal out of the scenes you give me. Thank you.
And she did. And
yeah, she did.
She said, this is my audition for Grey's Anatomy. Get me
literally
on there. And she says, no net, no visit. We're going to the burn unit, guys. Aria thought that he had a broken leg or something. This guy was fucking burned.
Like, guys, when we see him, it's giving full mummy. It's horrible. I can't imagine few things that are worse.
Speaking of full mummy, imagine A, preparing for the scene later.
Having to go
full mummy.
Where did you set up for this? Where was your changing room? Because did you do it in like the bathroom and then have to walk down the hall and hope nobody saw you in your black pants and your full mummified top half? How'd you do it? How long have you been here? Like, you know, there are logistical questions that come to mind, of course. So
then we go back to the prison.
Question. How the hell did Allison DeLaurentis get a single?
And, well, maybe she's, like, one of those, like, high-profile people that they, like, put in their own. Like, when O.J. Simpson gets his own cell.
Well, Diddy right now. Diddy is, because Nick Vial was just talking about, like, what happens.
I think he just got a roommate, though.
And well, he's, but like, it's, like, in a high-profile part of the jail.
Yeah. His roommate is the guy who scammed a bunch of crypto nerds out of like billions of dollars.
Wouldn't you just kind of love to be a fly on the wall for those convos?
No, but I'm kind of like, this is
a bad match.
Terrible. It's terrible scamming someone out of $1 billion, but
the crimes aren't the same.
Does he have to be put in a cell with this man? I would be terrified.
You would be up Diddy.
Being in a jail with him.
I'm like so. The next year is going to be crazy. And
I do just here. I just want to say something.
Yeah.
To the people on TikTok. Why is it that when a man is finally held accountable for his actions, we immediately go searching for a woman who's allegedly pulling the strings?
Yep.
Stop making it seem like Beyonce is this fucking like mastermind who has created all this to happen. Stop making it seem like Kanye is some martyr and some spokesperson who's blackballed by the industry because he stood up to the system. That's not what happened, number one. Stop trying to make it seem like he was doing the right thing when he got on stage and said, Taylor, Beyonce had the best music video of all time because you thought Beyonce was gonna kill her? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, people are
crazy.
Insane. And the insanity is feeding itself. And the reality is none of us know what has happened.
It's crazy enough.
And we won't know what's happened until it goes to trial. And I really look forward to, it feels strange to say look forward to because the things we're going to hear are going to be abhorrent and really disturbing. But I really am interested to see what the truth actually is because I guarantee you that quote, truth is stranger than fiction. Like, we don't need to make up our own stories. I promise you there will be enough for you all to feel fed, you motherfuckers, you sickos. Like, that you don't need to slander other people, because the reality is we have no idea. And yeah, maybe these people are involved, but we don't know, and we don't know the scope of it. And it's a pretty horrific thing when people make such cavalier accusations. It feels like they don't understand what they're talking about. And
it feels like, do you know what he's in jail for?
Like, do you know what really is, it doesn't, how dark and how deep this is going to go? Like,
just because this like blink twice shit is happening doesn't mean you have to immediately go to the Illuminati side of things.
Although it is crazy that that movie like just came out.
I know. I think I said that on the last time we talked about it, because we talked about Blink twice right after the indictment happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned, I was like, it's crazy that Zoe Kravitz being a Nepo baby. I mean, yeah. It's just crazy that she's so close to the industry and made this movie, and the Diddy stuff is happening right now.
Well, and one thing that's like interesting, and there's an quick little segue into the Blink twice thing, is obviously we have our one guy who doesn't partake in any of the sexual assault towards the women, and he still doesn't remember anything, but like as far as he's concerned, he's just like having a good time. And he says, when he like remembers everything, he's like, oh my God, what have I done? And Channing Tatum says, nothing. You did fucking nothing. And it's like, there's going to be a world where we have to decide, because it's going to be, we're going to find out there are going to be people in pictures with Diddy who never had any idea, never did anything, and it doesn't make them guilty. There are going to be people in pictures with Diddy who did know and did nothing. And there are going to be people and who didn't partake, but also didn't do anything to help. And then there are going to be people who are absolutely scum of the earth, devils. And it's like kind of for you to decide on your own, I guess, like if you lump all those people into the same category.
I've also seen some people comparing that character in Blink not going to Justin Bieber a little bit.
Yeah. I'm worried about Justin Bieber and what's going to just.
Me too.
I hope it doesn't take a toll on his mental health.
Oh my goodness. It's absolutely terrible. I'm glad, not that I'm glad, but I'm glad this is happening around the same time Demi Lovato's documentary on Hulu came out, because I think that it is sparking a conversation. Gavin Newsom just signed something into law to help protect minors that are being, frankly, exploited by their parents online to make money.
Wow.
And that's more of a money thing, but I think that having that conversation about protecting kids that are in the spotlight. Justin Bieber had nobody.
Yeah.
And the people that he was meant to trust, now we're realizing, are these like the most despicable people you could ever even dream of.
You don't know. You don't know. And it's like, it's really easy to look at the parents and be like, how could you? But like, especially in this industry, like,
and with the money that they,
when you don't
have never seen,
like when you have nothing.
I mean, she was a single mom. Yeah. Like, it's. So anyway. All of that to say,
so
Allie's getting a fucking single.
Yeah.
But apparently security in this prison's not too good, because suddenly someone's got...
And the arts and crafts department is incredible.
Someone's got a string, and they're pulling this little can that's under her bed somehow from somewhere.
An empty can.
Suddenly it starts to roll.
An empty can. Well, it's not empty. It has stuff in it, but it's been emptied, which means it's been open, which means we have some very sharp metal objects just running willy-nilly around this jail, which seems like kind of a safety hazard. But I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, do they have the American Girl doll hospital inside this prison? Because how do they craft a beautiful young doll of Allison De Laurentiis in an orange jumpsuit?
Allie's
fits
in the can.
Perfectly inside this can.
Allie's in a can. Maybe one might say a barrel, because the note in there says, you're already over a barrel. Want to be in one too?
What does it mean to be over a barrel?
I was hoping you'd know, English major.
The work never stops, you guys. Hang on.
While you look that up, we're going to talk about Oxford. So they're having a jolly good time, Spencer, and this interviewer. They're telling stories. They're learning philosophical knock-knock jokes.
You're in a helpless position or at someone's mercy.
I feel the same way after Googling that as I do after Googling where the term on the lam came from. Which, by the way, if you Google where did that saying come from, the answer is we don't know. The answer is essentially, we know
pretty little
people started saying it.
Let's claim it. Hey, this is an opportunity. It's us. It's us. Hey, it's us. It's me. It's me and Stevie. I got to run to Wikipedia and change this. Did you know, by the way, anyone can just change anything on Wikipedia?
Yes.
I used to do it so much for fun in school with my friends. And one time we changed the PPG Arena to the Pittsburgh Palace of Glass. And it stayed like that for years. And I got a notification when somebody edited it.
Oh, my God. What does it stand for?
Who knows?
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
As far as I know, Pittsburgh Palace of Glass.
Pittsburgh Paint.
Don't care. All right, come on.
So then, guys, the craziest thing in the whole history of the world happened. Spencer's enjoying this conversation, and then we see the man's face start to sour. And then we see Spencer look at what he's looking at. And there is blood seeping out, oozing out of Spencer's bag. I don't know if we can think
of a powerful enough word for how saturated Spencer's bag and this chair, this upholstered chair in the office at Oxford are, and also the carpet at Oxford.
It's probably the oldest chair. It's probably the oldest chair in the world. It's like King Henry sat on it. Like it's in Oxford. It's probably that historical.
It's not. Yeah, it's priceless, one might say. And it's not like, you know, it happens. A girl might be on her period and you sit and you have a little leak and there's a little spot. No, no. This is like as if somebody chopped off Spencer's arm at the elbow and let her just bleed out in the room. Like, and that's also, how much blood like, it's is not here. Even, and it's pooling.
It's not even like she's holding the purse, so it can even kind of her period. Should have like
put that on the floor, Spencer.
It's on a completely different chair, so she has to. She has no connection to the bag. There's something bloody in the bag.
At first, I was like, there's a dead animal in this bag, I can't. But I actually think the truth was worse.
This is worse. Spencer goes to reach in, and her hands are also covered in blood, and we see that there are vials of blood in there that have shattered.
Yeah, shattered glass in there. Oh, my fucking God. And it's like how the hell do you explain that? No, for real. How do you explain that you have vials of blood in here? Like when he's like, how much? That's a lot of blood. She runs out of there, which I guess is what I would do too, because what the fuck do you do? And she calls Aria, bitch Aria. She calls Aria and she'll probably regret it for the rest of her life because she called Aria. She's having a full blown panic attack, which, hey, by the way, Spence, makes perfect sense. You are completely entitled to be having a panic attack about what just happened to you. It's crazy. And Arya's like, can you just shut the fuck up? Arya's literally, can you just, okay, some of us have real problems. Can you shut the hell up? And Spencer's like, I need you to, or wait, okay, wait, I'm sorry. I'm jumping. So she left.
After that, we go to the dance studio. And I can't remember when I mentioned the song a couple weeks ago when Girls Chase Boys was playing.
Yeah.
I can't remember to forget you, Samara.
Yeah.
By Rihanna and Shakira.
This is Emily's favorite song.
Dancing. Talia comes by to drop off her house key. I'm like, okay, have days passed for you two? Like, what the fuck?
I also need to say, well, yeah, wait, has maybe she it's already a key for the stayed brew. There? Oh, I bet it's that. Because I think it's like the same day. But one thing is that Emily is really giving Music in the Mirror the famous dance number from A Chorus Line with Cassie. And if only Emily was wearing the same outfit in red, it would actually be, I would have no choice but to believe it was an intentional parallel. Because it is so bonkers. Like, I also, the way she's just smiling while she dances and Talia walks in, Emily's so mortified. This is not cool girl Emily.
And once again, the dancing though is just Shay Mitchell.
Yes, which is kind of why it's more embarrassing.
Because it's an alter ego.
You know, Shay was like, guys, please skip the scene. Please skip. No, don't watch this scene. She's like, he probably hates fucking watching it. Not that
and
she doesn't look
Talia
great.
Talia walks
but
in and they're just talking about the beauty pageant. And Talia says the classic line, he just never really struck me as the beauty pageant type.
When Emily explains to her that she's doing it for a friend and Talia doesn't believe her and says, nobody works that hard just for the money. I'm like, that's why everybody works hard. What do you mean? That's like the number one reason people work hard is the money.
Emily goes, it's for Hannah, okay?
Oh my God. But it turns out maybe she does want to win for her too. And then she asks Talia to dance with her. Jesus Christ.
And then we go to the hospital and this is where we find out some stuff. And this is just Radley, basically, guys, the set. So if you can
picture
it.
I was going to say, we really spent no money on the medical and psychological facilities in this town.
We go up to Cyrus and he's like fully bandaged. Like that character in SpongeBob whose bones are made of glass and paper and everything.
Again, that's if you've him. Ever seen a mummy.
And they're talking and Cyrus says it's not an accident. And then he like reaches for this pen and Aria like basically grabs his burned hand and goes here and it tries to help him write. And he writes what looks like initially carjack.
Yes.
And so Aria's like, okay, nailed it. Carjack. Let's go. It was a carjacking. Let's leave.
Yeah. She runs with that. And Hannah's like, wait, hang on. I'm feeling feisty. Can I just stay and fight the nurse? So Aria's like, do whatever you want. And goes because Spencer's calling her. And that's where Spencer's telling her about the blood. And she's like, I don't know whose it was. And Aria says, Spencer, you really need to calm down, okay? And then Spencer was like, I'm freaking out. Like, I feel like I'm being, like, something. And I think she said, like, I feel like I'm being attacked. And Aria was like, but you're not. And then Spencer was like, I want to come home. And Aria goes, so come home, Spence. Apparently, you're not the only one being targeted. And then tells her about Cyrus. And she's like, and then I'm going to be next, of course, because it always comes back to me. And then Spencer's still spiraling. And finally, the nurse threatens to call security on Hannah. So they have to go. And so then they hang up and Spencer gets a fucking text that would have me like, actually, I don't know if I'd ever get back on a plane or ever come home again.
I'd be in London forever.
The text said, keep calm, but watch your carry on. There's more blood where that came from. And I just want to say, I want to talk to creepy Colin.
Can someone tell me how A is sending texts to Spencer that are in red? It's a red font.
Good question. I don't know.
How's that happen?
Can I ask
a
question?
We go back to the... Yeah.
Do you think, because here's the thing, I'm like, Spencer's definitely a carry-on traveler. Right? Like, she's not checking a bag, probably. So how the hell, this blood would have had to gotten in her bag once she got to London? Because she wouldn't be able to take vials of blood through fucking TSA.
But she says that it did go through TSA.
What?
She said that if they had found that in TSA, I think.
No, I know. I'm saying
it's less than 3 ounces.
No, what I'm saying, though, well, it didn't look like less than 3 ounces.
But I mean, each thing is less than 3 ounces.
But they probably would have seen that it was blood.
Maybe they suck.
I'm just saying, it makes me think that somebody in London did it. It makes me think Colin did it. Really? That thought never didn't cross your mind?
I don't know if it did the first time I watched, baby. We go to the dance studio, and Emily's teaching Talia the dance now, which is more mortifying than having to watch Shay do it the first time.
No, because I don't think it's cute when people are bad at dancing. Like, it isn't cute.
If I'm good at it, I don't want to teach you how to do it.
And if I'm good at it and I'm teaching you how to do it, I'm on the clock, is what I mean, basically.
Caroline's like, okay, this is my normal rate.
And then not Talia starting to cry. Emily's like, hey, so we don't
They're
cry
like
in class,
laughing.
Okay?
They like fall, and at first it seems like Talia's laughing, and then she starts weeping. And then they start slow dancing.
Of course.
And
natural
then we go back to the hospital. And Hannah's leaving the like little ward, and the nurse goes, hey, and next time, wear some pants.
Okay, so we're slut shaming now, huh?
And
so we're slut shaming.
Hannah looks at Aria and goes, I could have taken her.
And as if Aria had to physically remove Hannah from like a fist fight she was trying to have with this woman. You know, Ashley Benson and this woman, actor who really made a meal of it. They were like, what if we like had beef? Like, what if we had this kind of other storyline? Like, Aria's being coached through the phone call and Aria's like, sorry, I really need to be in the moment for this. Can we just like take five? And so that's when Ashley Benson and this actor came up with their little story and the director
yes.
loved it. So they kept it in.
I love that. I think it needs to be that.
Me too.
And Hannah goes, you could have distracted her. And Aria, okay, I'll give Aria a funny line. She has one every 10 episodes. And she goes, what did you want me to do? Juggle?
Yeah, that was funny, actually. But it's like anything, Aria.
Hannah says that the prison guards were more intimidating. And then she says that woman was like crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Yeah, she said she like leapt over the desk like that.
What does that mean?
It's a book, I think, or a movie, and it's like a spotlight.
Okay, Hannah.
Yeah. Oh, Hannah's having a lot of okay Hannah moments because then she goes, oh, by the way, the note isn't carjack, it's farjack. And Aria's like, what? Like, what? Is A going by the name
Aria's
farjack?
Aria's annoyed.
Yes. And Aria's like, Hannah's like, it's from Breakfast at Tiffany's. And I'm like, that is so funny that Aria didn't fucking clock it. Of course, immediately Aria goes, well, Cyrus spelled it wrong. So, like, that's why.
And Hannah goes, okay, that doesn't matter.
No, Hannah, she says that's awesome. And Aria's like, why would it be awesome that he can't spell? Aria's like, I'm concerned for one.
And Hannah says that means, this was so smart.
I know.
Hannah says that means he's never seen it written down. So that means that A and him have spoken, not just corresponded through emails or things like that.
So that he would probably be able to ID A and actually know what A's voice sounded like and what they're, it's like, that's huge. Yeah.
Guys, strap in.
Well, we're back in the burn ward.
And we get this close up on Cyrus's face. The background at the moment is like out of focus. And then it slowly focuses on a patient in the back. And that patient sits up.
I feel it
gets out of bed.
At this point in my Pretty Little Liars watching journey, I should like already be assuming if there are unconscious or lying down bodies in the room, I should already assume one of them's gonna sit up and try and scare me and like BA. Like that should just be part of my general checklist now.
Nothing made me laugh harder though than when A gets out of bed and I realized that A did just do
I know.
Top half.
Hey, let's maybe do our job the whole way. Yeah, it's a little bit eye-catching. I have to say the color block look is a little eye-catching.
Jarring. And we don't see what A does to Cyrus, but they do stand over Cyrus for a second. Then we go back to the flat. And Spencer,
creepy Colin's back, and Spencer's going through her luggage like crazy. And he goes, "Did you find a bed bug?" And she's like, "No, but I need to change my flight. Can you call me cab? I want to go home tonight." And he's like, "Oh my God, you're having a panic attack." And it's like, dude, you do not know Spencer Hastings. You have no idea if she's having a panic attack. You just walked in the flat. And he says, "I teach primary school, so I actually know how we can do a relaxation exercise together. And I thought personally, me, Caroline, I would get violent if somebody did this to me."
Yeah, I think you would, but I do just want to note something. Spencer is in such a rush all of a sudden, but I do want to say she fully changed into quote-unquote casual clothes, but her casual clothes, she still had to fully put... She's in jeans, she's in a button-up flannel, and she has a sweater over it, and she's, like, put together. So she's not in that much of a rush.
Classic.
She's now having her panic attack. She wasn't having it. She got home, and she had time to change.
So I guess he's going to make her something to eat. And again, I'm like, I'll eat out. Thanks. Don't touch anything I'm going to put in my body. Like, what?
We go back to the dance studio, guys. This is so funny.
This is fucking great. Phoebe, I just wish you could have seen, like, the progression of facial expressions I was making.
We should have. I wish we had had you hooked up to, like, a blood pressure machine.
No, literally. To see, like, what exactly my body was experiencing when I watched this. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, that... Oh, okay, suddenly I need to go to school for neuroscience because I want to do a test where I have people watch this show.
Because I want to do one single test.
While I have them in an MRI machine and I see what they're... And but I figure Phoebe, out if they're truly a good person or
Phoebe.
Not.
Phoebe, you can't... Yeah, my heart rate doesn't go up at all when I watch, like, the brutal murder scenes. When I see, like, Allie being despicable to other people. Like, my heart doesn't rise at all. It's like Aria says, like, has a pencil behind her ear and it's like... Like, Aria, like, starts fucking... racing. It's like, oh my God, she's angry. She's angry. The problem with an MRI, Phoebe, is you have to stay still. And how can I possibly do that when I'm watching a show like this? What if I get startled? We have to start the whole thing over?
Yeah. Great. So Claire walks in and she's like, "Hey, I just wanted
she's
to
like, hi,
this is
you
giving
too?
This I love seeing friends.
I love seeing bestie girlfriends, platonic girlfriends."
Is it girl's face friend? And she's like, "Emily, did you read the whole application? Because there is a pretty clear part of the application that says we're pretty explicit. It explicitly states all applicants must be of good moral character."
Oh, Phoebe, already I'm like in full disbelief. Horror. Can't believe my eyes, can't believe my ears. And I also say to you, Claire, are we stupid? You know she didn't read the whole thing. Why even ask? You know.
We've already had this
conversation.
I do love when Emily goes, when Emily's like, "Yeah, I think I read the whole thing. I mean, except for
that one thing." And I guess something else.
And Emily goes, "Are you kicking
me out of the conversation? There's more lines that have to come up. I'm sorry." Claire then goes,
You
should have at least mentioned it to me, which I thought was crazy. And then she says, "You should have known you'd make the board apprehensive, more than apprehensive." Oh my God. And then
Emily's like, "Are you forcing me to drop out?" And Claire's like, "I can't force you. I can only encourage." And Emily goes, "You're making me drop out because of who I date?" And Claire goes, "Okay,
what?
Let me check my calendar year. It's the year 2012. No, we're not kicking you
She's
out
like,
because
no,
you're gay,
idiot.
Emily.
No,
we're
idiot.
Kicking you out of the competition because you're best friends with someone that's sitting in prison for murder."
Yeah, yeah. Although if I'm Emily and I'm reading that, I am like, yeah, I'm in good moral standing. I didn't kill anybody. I'm not in jail. Like, I do still think it's a stretch, but It is kind of hilarious writing. That's what they did before
she confirms that it's about Allie and not about her being gay.
Yeah.
Talia, this is how Talia stands up. She goes, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't. Her uptight fucking shoulders. I'm like, Talia, sit down. So we go to the Marin Manor. Hannah comes home. Ashley's putting tulips in a vase. And life seems good. Life seems good here because Ted called. PT Cruiser called, and Ashley is wearing a ring. They're going to make it work. And I have to say, I'm a little surprised by Hannah's reaction.
Can I imitate Ashley showing Hannah the ring?
Oh, but of course. Wrong hand, by the way.
Whatever. I'm not married. I'm not an expert.
It is so funny the way it is. And Hannah's like, sweet. Like, Hannah literally doesn't care. And we find out that what Hannah doesn't like, which I do kind of love because she's just such a protector, she doesn't like how long PT Cruiser made Ashley wait. And
she said, I don't think it's fair he made you twist in the wind for so long. I'm like, Hannah, you've been reading.
Hey, let's not forget. Emily's popping and locking it so she can go to Ballard College. Hello. Then Ashley's like, listen, I'm happy he took the time because if he said okay right away, that wouldn't have been honest. And Hannah goes, and didn't that make you wish you hadn't apologized? Which is so me. I'm like, yeah. And all that time this thinking that he didn't want to marry me, I for sure would have been like, fuck him. I shouldn't have even said sorry.
And I think it's interesting how this begins to be kind of an analogy for Allie and Hannah.
Yeah,
because
good point.
Ashley's like, because Hannah's saying all of the way, she's just saying how she's feeling about the
Allie. You're right.
She's like, I'm mad at her. Yeah. I don't want to, didn't you want to not do this? And mm-hmm. Ashley explains why she did feel like it was all okay or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why Hannah eventually is ready to move towards forgiveness. But first we have to walk outside of, let me just tell you, Rosewood High School. Yeah.
And
high
we're school, not just...
Talia, you're walking out of a high school with a girl who looks like she is on Mount Lebanon's dance company. So dancer coded.
The outfit I just talked about?
Just like the sweats and the
sweats. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That say dance on the side.
Obsessed. And they're like the airbrush. Yeah, 100%. Uggs with ballet slippers on underneath. Love it. Anyway, they're not just walking out of the school,
so
Phoebe.
That's so center stage.
I loved doing that. They're not just walking out of school, Phoebe. They are walking on air. Yes, they are. They just dance their little hearts out together, and they're
that
having a blast.
That noise you just made is so Phoebe on the webcam.
Okay.
Coded.
Yeah. Hey. And now I get to put this in the reference fix.
And that's where the quote
is. Oh man. I didn't see you there. Anyway, we're Talia has a new attitude, by the way. And Claire is outside of the school. Claire, get lost. Claire, you are like a gnat that I cannot brush away. And Talia, with her brand new attitude, says, Emily, follow my lead. And walks up and says, I understand the board's position. We're just concerned that if anyone found out she's being asked to leave because of a friend she has. I'm not threatening you, Claire. I'm encouraging. Perhaps your sponsors can write a donation towards Emily's education. I said, okay, mortifying. I would be gone, first of all. There would be smoke and skid marks where I just was because I would have run home so fucking fast. Yeah.
And Emily's like, you did not just do that. And Talia goes, you never know.
And it's like, Talia, I know you. This is your whole thing, scammer. Because you're like, yeah, well, I got a hotel, but I'm just saying I don't have a place. I don't know what I'm doing after that. You never know. Put it out there. You never know.
So then we go to the mausoleum, and Arya is doing what she does best, which is snoop through Mike's room. And she's on the phone with Hannah. And Hannah's like, did you talk to Mike? Does he know who Varjak is? And Arya can't find Mike at the moment. So she's looking for his printed out schedule.
Also hilarious.
I can take one look at Mike's room and tell you that he doesn't print out a schedule.
Yeah, true. Except that he does. But also, I like that she's clearly not bothered at all by the last time she went through his room and kind of how he handled that one. Like, it's been like 24 hours just doing it again.
A true picture of siblinghood.
So true.
And she clocks the schedule, which is on a dartboard that is strictly for decoration because it's like up in the rafters.
Well, for Arya, so yes, it would have to be decoration.
Well, no, for anybody. For anybody, that's way too high for a dartboard.
Okay.
And Arya goes to stand up, and Lucy Hale's having to act her freaking
yes,
life
she
away.
Is.
because she's having to stand on her tippy toes on this little like workout bench. Remember we saw at the, from the A scene last time.
Teeter totter.
And then we hear who I think is Byron.
I thought it was Mike.
Aria, are you home? It sounds just like what's his name? Lowe, Chad Lowe. It's not. We find out later it's someone else, of course.
Smart Andrew.
And Aria goes and we start to see the nuts and bolts kind of like loosen up. And Aria falls off of it and hits her head and all the weights go everywhere.
Yeah, she hits her head hard. And Smart Andrew comes to her rescue. And I just want to say I would never mentally recover from this. If I just fell down reaching for that and someone walked in on and I'm like kind of going on a date with him tonight.
But this is Andrew's dream.
That's actually so true. Andrew grabs the nut and the bolt and he shows Aria that they don't match. So like we now know this was intentional. And he says, if your brother would have been on this, the weights would have crushed his skull. And that's where Aria, like she's staring at it and she starts crying. Like I think the realization of just like how fucking serious and how scary this mm-hmm. is really hitting her. And it's and then they this is where kiss.
This is where I'm like, we go, and honestly, that kiss was like
the best kiss she's had.
It was a good kiss.
Not as good as the first kiss Adam Brody and Kristen Bell have. And nobody wants this.
But before that, they're talking and Andrew is like wrapping her foot and he's like, man, the swelling's really worrying me. But he's like talking. He's going on. And as he's talking, Aria continues to cry more and more. Yeah. Andrew's fully looking up from her foot into her eyes and back to the foot, not realizing that she's crying. He's just continuing to talk. And this is where he says something that, I mean, critics and fans alike have been saying about us. For such a petite girl, you sure bring a lot of chaos.
And she's Andrew like, thank you.
Andrew goes, don't worry. I like problems. I love puzzles. I love solving them. I'm not scared by complicated girls.
She's like, great.
But you know what does scare me? This swelling. We got to go see a doctor. And then he sees that she's crying. He goes and sits next to her, pulls up his short sleeve, button up shirt sleeve, and says, go to town.
Yeah. What? What happened? What? It's mostly what just what happened? Is what I mean. Yeah, it's just what.
So then we go to the Hastings castle and Vivi is typing the day away. And then she's kind of tempted by Allie's case file.
Yeah, she gets a little distracted and then she's fully looking through it and she sees something freaking insane. Did we see what it was? I might have like looked away.
I don't think so.
Okay. So she calls Spencer.
I also
want to
say one more quote that Andrew said. Sorry, I just saw it on my page. Is that he looks at Aria and he says, this is why you need someone like me around. I'm basically a human step ladder.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's like practiced that line before in the mirror. So Vivi calls Spencer. She's like, you need to cancel your flight home. So obviously something she's realized. It isn't safe for Spencer to travel, which I did know already. But anyway, then, of course, sweet angel Hannah is visiting Allie in jail. And Allie said, OK, side part blowout. She said, I have important company today.
She looks so cute, but she also looks
I'm talking about Allie's
like,
hair.
Oh, I thought Hannah looked cute, too. Hannah walks in. It's like they're walking her to the gallows.
I don't think Allie looks cute. She's in an orange prison jumpsuit. I just think that like her hair has been in a ponytail and now it's like in a side part blowout.
I kind of like lost what you were saying. So I just was trying Hannah to looks agree.
Cuter. I think Hannah looks cuter than Allie for sure.
But Hannah looks like she's walking to the gallows.
Okay.
So I leap from the gallows and I levitate.
So I leap from the gallows and I levitate.
If anybody else wrote those lyrics, I'd be like, that's the most embarrassing thing in the world. So I leap from the gallows.
It's giving the crucible. It's giving. Did Arthur Miller write this?
A white woman in her mid-30s writing, so I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Who's afraid of little old me?
So Hannah, cute, brought magazines, but they took them. And Allie's like, yeah, you have to get them from this other thing. And I said, okay, say thank you. It's the thought that counts, yes. Bitch.
And it's so cute to think of. I love how Hannah like just
well,
thinks
that's
of
what
how
Mona
she can
did for
connect.
Hannah too, which is so cute. Like mm-hmm. that's the way that
and
Hannah shows up
Hannah
for her friends.
For Mona.
It always works for Hannah. It always worked for Mona. So, like that's how she knows how to be a good friend. And honestly, that would work for Allie too. So it's not even like if you're like Aria would be like, I actually spent hours in the studio sculpting this vase for you. And it's like, I'm in jail. I can't have flowers or a vase. Okay, Aria. It's like that is
and
something that Aria would like. But yeah, that's something that Aria would like, but it's not really like, you know what I mean? Where like this is also, it's not just something that Hannah knows would work for and her. We it will also work a for lot, Allie.
A lot of insight in this scene. Yes. Of like what Allie's
oh my God.
Through.
This was a great acting moment for Sasha Peterson as well. I thought so too.
I was really touching. Surprised by it.
She did a really nice job of humanizing Allie because here's the thing, like at this point, not only does Allison De Laurentiis need to change Rosewood's mind about her, but Sasha Peterson needs to change our minds about Allison, because the reality is at this point, yes, Allison has told so many lies. She has been such a bad friend. She has been in the wrong so many times. Like, how are you going to get us back on your side, Allie? Mm-hmm. And it's going to have to be by some of this awesome acting like Sasha Peterson is doing here.
And Hannah gets ready to like apologize. Like, she opens her mouth to apologize and Allie says, Hannah, don't apologize to me.
Ugh.
And she was like, I've been sitting in here thinking about what I did to deserve this. And then I thought about like being friends with you. And I really thought that I was helping you guys by telling you what to wear and all this stuff. But when you stopped listening, I just found new people that would listen to me, and nobody listens to me here. Everything's in order. And she says sorry to Hannah.
Yeah.
And this, that's where her acting, like the way she's talking about there's one line. I think
I
she takes a break
down.
Between. But when she's like, they pick what I wear and do this. But she takes a break, I think, before she says when I shower, and she like barely gets that line out.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. It's really like she's really struggling with this. And that's, I'm just going to continue because I wrote down a lot of like word for word what she said. But picking up from where you left off, Phoebe, yeah, she says, I'm told everything, everything's in order. And I never realized how bad that felt to be on the other side of that. So I'm sorry. And that's where it's like, I said, I love this apology, actually. And she asks if they can start over. And Hannah says, I don't know, but we can try. But only if you're honest about everything. And that is Hannah. Because for a moment,
you know what
I was
Aria
like, are we going
to
leave it at that? Aria would spit in her face and leave.
Aria would say, are you fucking kidding me?
Saying, I'm Venmo requesting you for my Uber out here. So then
you can
Hannah,
take that out of the sense that you make.
Yeah, exactly. So then Hannah asks who Varjak is. And of course, boom, we go to our A scene. They're going to leave us on that cliffhanger.
And our A scene is A in the prison, I'm assuming, or like maybe volunteering at the prison or something. But I'm like, okay,
really commentary really on the corrupt prison system.
Really inconspicuous look.
Yeah.
Showing up to volunteer at the prison in your A uniform.
Within a stack
with
of
like
cash.
Stacks of 20 bills.
Yeah.
$20 bills. So we see that A is flipping to Deuteronomy 32:35 and putting a $20 bill on it. And I do have that verse pulled up, I think. But it's about vengeance.
It's like something of vengeance is mine or something. But yeah, all the Bibles are marked with the Chester County Women's Corrections sticker. So I don't know why she's slipping all this money. It's honestly giving Ozark.
It's the verse is vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly.
Ooh, that is not a verse I would want someone to say that's poignant. I wouldn't want to open that up in my fortune cookie. And
oh
that's
imagine you come across someone's Instagram profile. That's the Bible verse.
Oh my. Okay, new idea just unlocked for the month of October.
You look at it and you're just like, okay, like they have a verse in their thing. You expect it to be like, man, like love others.
That's how I find out who my real friends are, who took the time to look it up and who really gets me.
Hey, I almost called you Hannah. Hey, Caroline, do you know what that verse says?
Of course I do. Do you? That's what I would say. So we have our synopsis for next week, season 5, episode 22, To Plea or Not to Plea. A plea deal is put on the table, which could incriminate one of the Pretty Little Liars for Mona's murder. We've been getting these short synopses for the next week. But before we can wrap up this episode, we need to talk about our fan theory. And honestly, I'm glad we did it at the end. This is the first time we're doing it, so I wasn't sure like if we'd want to do it in the beginning or the end. But it's nice because we can kind of use what we talked about this episode to dive into the theory a little bit. So the theory again was, what if Allison and Mona are actually working together to bring the girls down?
Well, you start because you're the one who doesn't know anything.
True. Well, honestly, I feel like I know in my heart of hearts, okay, that's not what's happening. But for the whole like suspension of disbelief sort of attitude that we're going to need to approach this with, I want to say this episode would make a pretty good case for it, because number one,
I agree.
Also, like, how diabolical would it make Allison? Like, if she if it ended up that she had this whole apology scene with Hannah, all this fucking shit, like she's asking Vivi to help her out and it turns out she's just doing this to bring the girls down. And also for Mona, like what if Mona and Mike, okay, were like low key in cahoots and Mike fucking hates his sister. I would get it.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense to me, but I don't want to believe but I'm more willing to believe it about Allie than Mona, which is low key crazy.
Yeah. Do you find solace in the fact that there were people at the time of watching this show who also weren't convinced that Mona was dead?
Yes, because actually one of our listeners and one of my friends, MK Kelly, texted me and was like, I want you to know my sister's gaslighting me the same way Phoebe's been gaslighting you. And MK's also having a hard time believing this. And like, I understand
that we fully saw her body.
Yeah. And I also understand that that doesn't fucking matter to me and this world we're existing in. But I think what it really is, the last episode convinced me more that she's dead. Now, here's a crazy idea. What if Mona and Allie were working together to bring down the girls and Allie fucking killed Mona?
Yeah.
Like Mona got too messy. Maybe Mona got too emotionally involved with Mike.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Wait, no fucking way. You're acting like that's what happened. You're acting like if Allie killed Mona, Phoebe, I'm out. Like, there's no redemption for Allison if she killed Mona.
I'm not going to confirm or deny it for you, but...
Well, I knew she was acting shady when she showed up at the crime scene. I told you she was acting shady.
We have the video footage, like you talked about at the beginning of the episode. They're going to need to answer for that, aren't they?
So they are going to answer for that?
Potentially.
Because some of us need answers. Me. I'm the some of us who needs answers. Okay. So let's say they bring that up. And let's say that was part of the stage. But then why would Allison, for the greater good, why would Allison agree to stage it like that? Just for the added lore of her going to jail?
But Mona's so smart that she maybe wasn't ever fully honest with Allie. So she set up the cameras as like a pre... Like maybe Allie didn't know about the cameras.
Mona was trying to protect herself.
She thought she was just getting Mona out of the way because maybe Mona didn't want to do everything Allie wanted to do in the future of the thing. And Allie didn't think she was going to get taken down for it. But because she had laid the groundwork of like Mona's death was already part of their plan. Her fake death was already part of the plan. So it was like Mike, now Allie's going to be able to be cleared because Mike thinks he knows what happened.
Because Mike thinks he knows that this was like a plan. That A and Mona were
that it couldn't
quote,
have been
in cahoots. Oh, okay. But wait, I'm confused. So what are you saying?
If, like, the reason Allie's still going to be able to get out of jail is because Mike didn't really know the whole story of what exactly happened, but he knew what now the girls know. But maybe Mona and Allie were never fully honest with each other. So Mona was doing stuff to protect her, but maybe Mona wanted to stop short of what Allie wanted to accomplish. So Allie was like, I'm just gonna get her out of the way. And she thought she was gonna get away with it, but then the cameras were there, so now she's in jail and she thought she might just be rotting there, and now she sees this chance. She's like, oh, Mike already thought that Mona was gonna be dead in all of this, so he's going to be able to get me out of prison without him even realizing that I actually did kill her.
Oh my God. Imagine a world where Mona Vanderwaal, who ran over her best friend with a car, would say, Allie, that's too far. Allie, I don't want to do like the extent of what you want to do. Oh, your plans are a little much for me.
When we get to the dollhouse, you might understand.
Okay. That's crazy because my understanding is that I'm supposed to like Allison again by the end of season 7, and we're almost at the end of season 5. So, like, we don't have a whole lot. Again, Sasha, I hope you're ready. I hope you've been in your fucking acting classes because there's work to be done, girl. There's work to be done on the Caroline Connell front of, like, championing Allison De Laurentiis, especially if Mona Vanderwaal is at stake here. We don't stand for that. So, anyway, if they're working in cahoots, I blame Allison. Mona, you're a victim of your circumstances. That's just it. That's probably not true because I know Mona did hold her literally hostage, and maybe Allison's just getting back at Mona for that. Maybe that's what this all. But again, if the motive is to bring the girls down, So what, they would want to get all the girls in jail for Mona's murder instead. And it would be like Allison is a saint, that she actually, the girls were like keeping her down this whole time. The girls were keeping her hidden because they were all jealous. They didn't want her. They all had a motive for wanting her gone. And then Allison comes back and all the girls go in jail. And like, she just gets off with all this shit because she looks like the saint who lost her childhood to her evil friends. Like, is that...
Doesn't this make you think about how fun the writer's room must have been?
Yeah. Do you want to, like, you know, I know, let's go back to the start and let's rewrite every episode like in our own special way. They've never seen a TV show with lower ratings across the board. They're like, we didn't know it could be done, but if anyone
could
do it. Speaking
of TV shows with incredible ratings, once again, because the episode that was lost to the hard drive, we did this whole little, we went on and on about Pat Regan for like 10 minutes. I just want to shout out Pat Regan because we were talking about how proud we are that he got his Emmy. And yeah, now we're seeing that he is, he's not just a writer on Nobody Wants This. He is literally the first name shown at the end of one of the episodes.
Amazing. I feel like he's like not talking about it. I guess it's like new. No, and that's why
I looked on his Instagram and maybe I was like, has he even tried to promote this?
No. Today I was in a work meeting.
On the Seek Treatment Reddit, because I searched his name to make sure it was the right Pat Regan.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I saw he didn't post about it. And all these people in the Seek Treatment Reddit are like, oh my God, when I saw Pat's, and it makes me like, oh, because
I know.
He's never going to see it because
his mental health
like,
can't handle Reddit, which makes total sense.
That's always like, if I went on the Reddit, I would never be seen again if I went on the Reddit.
But honestly, I feel like if Pat went on, like, he'd be just fine. He'd actually probably like, feel good.
Well, I love how in the episodes, Pat's like, Pat will like, a guest will ask Pat about his workouts and he'll be like, and you know, I'm literally, there's gonna be a call for my death because because I'm talking about working out. Because literally people are gonna call for me to die.
They're just like us, for real.
I'm just happy for him.
I was on a work meeting today and they were like, is anyone watching new TV? And I said, I'm watching Nobody Wants This on Netflix. Is anyone watching it? And no one was, but they had like seen a ton of stuff. And I said, it's so good. It's like quick, 10 episodes a season. And there's only one, 30 minutes. Kristen Bell, Adam Brody. It's like a fun rom-com, but it's really, really good. About a podcaster, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, and they didn't really seem like they were biting right away. Like, I feel like sometimes I talk a lot about reality TV. So I think sometimes my suggestions like are ignored a little bit. So then I said, and it has some of the same writers as Hacks. So if you like Hacks, you might, and they were like, oh, and they were all excited. And I was like, okay, now I'll get you to watch it. But it's like, Pat, everything you touch turns to gold. The sooner you realize that, the better your life will be. I wish you listened to our podcast because we will give you the pep talks that you need. Just let us know you're here, okay? If you're a silent listener, you let us know and we'll speak the fuck up. We'll find that out. We'll go pay the $1,200 to get that episode so we can release everything we said about you. Of course.
We will.
It's only good things.
I saw a tweet that was like, Leighton Meester really got the life lottery because she got to be in one of the most iconic and revered teen dramas of all time. She got to marry Seth Cohen.
Yes.
And she has one of the greatest pop hits of the 2010s.
Good girls go bad. Oh, I know your type. You're dangerous. You're the guy, that guy I'd be stupid to trust. So fucking good. I obsessed with the Leighton Meester ex Cobra Starship era. I also
like, how did that happen?
Also, Leighton Meester, like, knock on wood, like, not really having to worry about being canceled. She's like just famous enough, but she's still so iconic and still relevant. She's just not like, I feel like,
and
her
Blair
life
Waldorf
is probably
is
manageable.
Relevant.
Of like, course.
Blair Waldorf is one of those characters that is going to be. And what's crazy is that I think that when the show, I mean, obviously Blair, they knew she was an icon, but I think maybe there was part of them that thought the elusiveness of
Serena
would be the thing that like lasted. But Blair is the long lasting thing
of
the show.
And I honestly think we have Leighton Meester to thank for that. Like, I think she brought so much depth to Blair. She wasn't just a mean girl, and I think the writer's room knew they could do more with that character because of the talent they had.
You know how I know what kind of characters these are? Because I know Blair and Hannah would be friends, and Serena and Arya would be friends.
Oh my God, yes. Here's what I definitely know. Blair and Aria would never fucking speak to each other.
You know why? Because Blair has that Vanessa-ism. Or I mean, no.
I was like, huh? Aria. Yeah, no.
Has that Vanessa-ism. Aria 100%.
Blair doesn't know Aria goes to the school. She doesn't know Aria goes to Constance Spillard, and she's not worried about that. She's not like worrying about the opinions of sheep, of course. But she and Spencer are mortal enemies.
Yes.
But they'll still be invited to all the same parties. But like, she's like, I don't know and your they friend. Have to you're be always like, with. They have she's to be not
like,
on the
kind
list.
Of nice. Like, honestly, I see Blair and Spencer having this, the kind of, if Melissa and Spencer were friends, not sisters, that's kind of the dynamic that Blair and Spencer would have. Like, they're cordial.
Yeah.
But in, and I but feel in like, a way where I it's like there's Blair, layers to this.
I feel like Blair would think that Melissa was, like, iconic. Mm-hmm. But she would think that Spencer was, like, the lesser Hastings, you know? Like, I don't know. Anyway, well... Okay, lots of really philosophical, important, analytical discussions today. Lots of critical thinking, and that's why you guys listen to the show, so I hope you're happy. Thank you for listening. Please, 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 before you do anything else today, can you go leave us a 5-star rating since you love our show so much? On Apple Podcasts, you can write a few words, let us know why you love us, and on Spotify, you can just leave the rating, but if you do that, if you subscribe to our show, it helps us so, so, so much. You'll never miss an episode. It's just a great move. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. We post all kinds of fun updates. We'll have reference photos for this episode. Anything we mentioned will show up. We have a Too Long Didn't Read for our Tuesday pop culture episodes and lots of fun Pretty Little Liars content. So go check that out. Make sure you're following at Liars Until Death on Instagram. And on Tuesday, you can submit your fan theories to Robert and then he will send to us and we will chat about them on next Thursday's episode, our recap of Pleopli or something. Whatever the title of next week. Yeah, I did. And then our Patreon starts up again next week. So let us know what kind of episodes you might want to see from us. We love you. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week, Road Warriors.
And Splat.
Okay, that even caught me off guard. I'll say it.